Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
The segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. They got deals going on right now. Great sale. 1595 East Main Street. Looking for a tow truck? Well, there's where you can get yourself a great deal. The 2017s are rolling out and the 18s are coming in. This is the time to start wheeling and dealing. And who can do it better? El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. All right. Well, if anybody watched the NASCAR race last night and Mr. Truex got taken out by Mr. Hamlin, which are teammates on the second to the last lap. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, Mr. Truex was not a happy camper.
As he was leading.
Well, we have Ryan Vargas on the line. It wasn't quite as bad for Ryan, but Ryan, you had kind of a rough evening yourself last night. Tell us about it, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a real good run last night at Irwindale Speedway. We had a bit of a rough start to the weekend. My first handful of laps in practice on Friday, and the car jumped out of gear going down the straightaway into the corner. And so I tried all I could, but we just absolutely pile drive the wall. I tried to move it, but the wall doesn't like to move there. So
did you hurt the engine?
No, the engine was fine. It messed up a lot of the right front suspension, shifted over the rear end, and it did a lot of damage, and especially the body as well. Pretty much ripped off the right front fender.
Well, how about you? How'd you come out of it?
I was fine. You know, my side was a little sore, but, I mean, other than that, I mean, the car is just so safe. I mean, by the next day, I was completely fine, so.
Okay.
I mean, we got the car on all fours and rolled again and went out for practice, and we had a pretty decent piece for the night. So, you know, we didn't have the best qualifying effort, but we ended up finishing the night in sixth for the first main event and fourth in the second main event. And, you know, we were on track to get a third place finish till late caution, so. I mean, with how bad the weekend started out and how tore up the car really was and how much work we had to do, I'm very pleased with those runs, and there's nothing to be disappointed in. I'm really proud of that.
And big hats off to your team.
Sure.
To be able to trash and thrash and put you in a position fourth and sixth. Dude, you better take them out to McDonald's.
Oh, of course. I mean, they were there. They were there on Sunday night. We were working all the way till 2 a.m. in the morning. And my crew chief, he got back out there early in the morning, and they were there finishing again. And yeah, it was wild. We put in a lot of work. So, I mean, you know, we raced real hard. We raced real hard with the national championship points leader in Wheeling Series, Trevor Olson. He gave me a great race, and racing door to door with a bunch of other great racers. It was. A lot of cars got tore up that night, but you know what? It's just part of racing, and you sometimes have those races. So, bummer for all those other cars that got tore up last night, but I'm just glad everybody was okay.
Yeah, it's really, really sad that Irwindale is going to go away. I mean, I know the owners are in it to make a living, but I'm just really going to be bummed because I was talking to Doug Stokes. Michelle and I were up at a press event with Ivan Stewart, and we were talking about Irwindale, and he says it looks like this is going to be the final nail in the coffin, which is really, really sad.
Yeah, it bums me out because, I mean, that's where Irwindale's where I got my first NASCAR short track experience. I mean, I went there when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
I sat in the front row, cheering on the other racers. And so, that's where that was my first ever experience with racing like that. So, to have that go away, not just once, but twice,
right,
went away when I first started racing. So, I mean, it's a bummer, and it's a bummer because the track just has such a good legacy to it. It's had so many great racers and races there with the old showdown, and even later this year. I mean, and that's one thing that I want to make sure people know. I mean, even though the track is going to close, there is still plenty of racing this year. So whoever's listening right now, I want you guys to get out to Irwindale Speedway. Next race is September 23rd. That's the late model championship night. That's also my birthday, so make sure to come on and cheer me out for that.
All right.
Absolutely.
We also have the big $5,000 to win race out in November, so that's going to be another great show. So, I mean, there's plenty of races still this year, so hopefully we can get some people out there to watch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, hey, tell us a little bit about the charity you work with.
Well, today I'm at an event for the Upside of Down. That's the name of the organization. It's a nonprofit organization that just kind of raises awareness for Down syndrome. So, I mean, if you're like, say, if you have a family member that has Down syndrome, or if you're about to have a child or something with Down syndrome, you have a place to go to, and they can help you out, let you know what it's like, give you the resources and stuff like that. Because people tend to think of it as a bad thing, but it's not. It's honestly a gift to have a family member like that. So
sure.
they definitely open a lot of doors for people and families with a family member like that.
Yeah, it really is. And your sponsor, Hose Pros?
Yeah, Hose Man Advanced Masonry.
Oh, Hose Man's, okay.
Hose Man Advanced Masonry Concrete. Then we also have Unlimited Landscaping. Then we have two new sponsors, Competition Front Wheel Drive Products, and another great sponsor, Engine Dynamics from Newhall, that jumped on board just recently, last month. So great help from them, and they've been really, real, real good supporters of the team so far.
Fantastic. Well, that's great to know. So you got to email me, and we got maybe when the season's over, let's work out another television segment down in San Diego.
Oh, definitely. I need to get out there. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd love to have you come on down, kick some tires, look around San Diego, have a little staycation.
Right. And are you going to do Western States Raceway?
Yeah.
Expo?
Are you coming out?
Oh, of course. We'll be there. I mean, Shelly and Becky and all those guys are at the Western States Expo. They put on a great show last year. I mean, it was way bigger than it was the first year. And this year, it's even going to be bigger out there at the Pomona Fairway.
Yeah. Well,
I'm very excited about that.
Make sure you take lots of lozenges, because we're definitely getting you back on radio, because we're going to drag the old radio show up there again this year.
Perfect. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I really am. And the Western States Racer Expo, folks, if you have anybody in the family that's thinking about racing, or maybe they've been racing and they haven't been real successful, it's a plethora of knowledge, and Shelly's got it bigger this year than ever. So you definitely, and you come up, you can visit Ryan Vargas. You can see the Hose Man car. I mean, folks, when you see this kid's car,
yeah,
it looks like it just rolled off the showroom floor.
He keeps it very spit and polished.
Boy, I mean, and his whole team. Yeah.
Number 23, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, number 23. My crew, Charles, Vince, Kevin, all the guys who help out on the car, they make sure that thing works right, but it also looks good.
Yes.
Today it looks a little bit beat up from how Friday night went, but you know what? That's just part of racing. So
right.
It'll get back. It'll look pretty once again, but
sure.
We just got to, it's just going to be a little bit beat up.
All right. Well, it's February 24th and 25th, by the way.
And the 23rd is his birthday.
No, it's September 23rd.
Yeah, September 23rd. Mm-hmm. So Ryan, okay, you're what? Halfway through the season. How are you feeling about the 2017 so far?
I feel very positive, because we had a real bit of a slump there towards the middle of the season after we got involved in a big crash back in April. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to find much speed. We weren't finishing in the top three at all for at least 2-3 months, and then mm-hmm. we went to Kern back in July. That's when things started turning around. We had two podiums back to back on a twin night. And then we were just kind of on a roll. We got podium, second place. Then last week we got my first official win at Irwindale Speedway. I crossed the line first, led all 50 laps.
All right.
And, I mean, we really had to run with the best of the best there. I mean, like I said, you have the national points leader Trevor Holston, who always puts up a great race. So
wow.
It was real neat to look up a mirror and to see all those cars that, you know, I look up to and I've learned a lot from to have them in my review. So it's real neat experience. And then even though the weekend started off kind of sour, we still ended it on a real strong note.
Wow.
They still know we're there. That's a real good sign.
Good for you. You should be proud.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan, you know, we interviewed a lot of drivers on this show, and I got to tell you, you are definitely right there in the top of the list. I mean, your attitude, your way of dealing with the racers, your sponsors, the fact that you have a charity.
And he helps the other racers.
And you do. You're mm-hmm. just really, really a great kid. And we are thrilled to be part of your success, and look forward to seeing you again on radio. And I look forward to seeing you at Western States Racer Expo. So look forward to it, man. Say hi to the family. Give them a big hug and hug the team. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Will do. And if any fans want to check us out on Facebook, Ryan Vargas Racing.
You got it. Ryan Vargas Racing. Look for the cute kid. All right, buddy. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right. This is Racer Radio, AM 1170. I don't know if anybody from Barona's calling in. I didn't reach out, so we will do that on break. Right here on AM 1170.
The Answer. We'll be right back.
folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And we've got Dirt Dude on the line. But before I bring Dirt Dude on, oh, by the way, this segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track. Plenty of racing left this year. You need to go to baronaspeedway.com to get all the latest updates. And it's at 1750 Wildcat Canyon Road every other Saturday. I'm telling you, folks, go to the schedule. You will love it.
Yes.
By the way, hey, before I bring you on, my man, Daniel Suarez got dumped by Subway because he was passing out donuts to his fans. So I'm just telling everybody, boycott Subway.
It stinks.
Stupid people. Donuts. I mean, I'm telling you. Anyway, hey, how you doing there, Dirt Dude?
Doing good. About you guys?
We're doing great.
Fantastic. How are you? What's kicking?
I kind of want a donut all of a sudden.
Well, what is he supposed to do? Pass out Subway? They're not giving him like a bunch of Subway, right?
Right. Apparently, they have breakfast foods, and it was just a big faux pas on his part to hand out Dunkin' Donuts to his fans.
It was not a faux pas on his part. It was whoever handed him the donuts to say, give these out to your fans. Because I doubt he went down to the grocery store and bought Dunkin'.
Well, of course not, but still, poor guy.
I know.
I feel so bad for
him. I do, too, especially when sponsorship money is hard to come by.
Maybe at the Western States Racer Expo, we got to talk about this to the drivers and say, these are the kind of things that can happen.
Yeah, be careful.
Be careful with your sponsors.
So what's kicking there, Dirt Dude? How did racing go last night?
It went great. I'm going to kick back into something real quick here. But you remember now when NASCAR had the whole thing, Gatorade, Victory Lane.
Yeah.
They just had Gatorades on top of the car. They'd knock them off because they were sponsored by another company that wasn't Gatorade. But NASCAR was telling them they were going to get fined if they removed the Gatorade because that's a NASCAR sponsor.
Right.
And it even they didn't care about the sponsors they had, like Pepsi or anything.
Sure. So. Well, have you seen lately when the winner goes into the winning circle, they run up. Some guy comes up and throws a Monster Energy drink towel on his shoulder. And I'll tell you, about 80% of them take that towel
and they get rid of it.
And they get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's tricky. It's very tricky.
Tricky. But we don't have that problem at Barona Speedway.
No, we don't make people wear hats and towels and drink things.
Well, the funny thing is, I do wear a Monster towel.
Yeah.
I do have one of those Monster towels.
That's because it was given to you.
Well, you must like it.
Yeah, I wear my Monster towel all the time.
Well, that's because you cry a lot.
One of those things I do.
You cry.
I'm constantly on the move in that track, and it was like humid, and you just start melting up there.
Yeah, can only imagine.
Well, wasn't it pretty nice last night?
It was actually pretty nice, and it was, but still a little humid. Wasn't bad. I mean, but the cloud cover. Some people have some really nice pictures on sunset.
On
Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just as the sun went down, we had clouds.
Uh-huh.
It was a great night of racing. I wish more people would come out and enjoy it because I don't know what was going on. We had a real low fan count last night. Car count was good considering we were competing with Parrish. They had modifieds running the same night we did. And we had a couple of our cars up there. And we had a couple of people come from out of town out in the Yuma and Imperial Valley area came out and raced at our track. So it was nice to... I think we did pretty good. I didn't get a car count what Parrish had last night for mods, and I'm sure Bam Bam's going to be calling in pretty excited here. So,
yeah,
we'll hear how that goes for them. But we actually had a really good night as far as the track went. Kind of, it was kind of rough at the beginning, but we cut it during intermission, and then it was still kind of tacky at the end of the night with all of the racing we did on it.
Mm-hmm.
We did a special memorial for Ray Fireball Felkner, who passed away just recently. So we had like a big memorial service or remembrance during the intermission. Had all the drivers come out and release some balloons. So our kids had their night. Cade McGowan got his fourth main event win in the junior sprints. And our mini dwarf masters, Deegan Irie, got his... eighth main event win. So he's been doing really well.
Wow, he's on a roll.
Yeah, and then going to our sportsman's, Charlie Carty got his 10th main event win. He's pretty much won everything so far this season.
Wow.
He is doing really well. He's keeping on fire. On to our big track, IMSA Modifieds, where our first one's out. Mike Coring, we actually had that big race in Boone, Iowa. So that's a nationally sanctioned IMSA event. So when they do that, they pull all the points from all the tracks. So you're not running any IMC modified points anywhere other than at Boone.
Wow.
So that way it opens up. So everyone that wants to race that race can go there. And if you don't go to the race, you're not penalized by losing points.
That's nice.
So that's kind of the way to do it. So we had an IMC non-points night. So it's pretty much an open comp. Bring what you run, kind of run kind of thing. You can run open comp motors. And, you know, a lot of guys are still running the crates. No one really did much changing. Mike Corning came up there and brought a big wing on the back of his car and an open comp motor. And he ran really well. Mm. That car just was super fast. Matthew Hicks got a second, was trying to reel him back in, but just couldn't catch him. And that was a good night. Devin Felkner he normally runs a 9F on his modified, and he rewrapped the whole car at like 3 o'clock in the morning Friday night to get it ready to take out. And he did a tribute to his grandpa. It was his grandpa's colors and his number. He had the 575 on it, or 572 on it. So it was really cool to see that. I guess he ran a lot of Cajon Speedway, 117. So, I mean, really a legend. So it was really cool to see that. Into our pure stocks, Rick Snager got his third main event win, and that was a strong running car. It was a good run. All the drivers out there had a good night. Our dwarf cars, Bobby Brown got his third main event win, and it was a good run. Bobby Brown, Ryan O'Connor in the 91, and Phil Comfort in a 77, and they were just like on each other all the way. And Mikey Hall too. So the top four, Bobby Brown kind of checked out a little bit, but the other three were right there, and it was a good battle throughout the night. And their point standing is the same. There are that 1 through 4 in the points, and there's probably a couple hundred between first and fourth in the points difference. So it'll be good to see how that goes to the points, as we're starting to have just like about three more races left in our season. The points might still make a big deal in it. Into our street stocks last night, Bobby Brown got Brian Brown got his fifth main event win. Came from, we had 12 car start, and he started 11th and finished first. So he came up to the middle of the field. And one surprising note, Jake Triska was one of our younger drivers out there, and he's just starting a street stock, and he started second and managed to hold on to fifth. So he did a real good night holding on to that. And then our pro and stock ponies, Dennis Taylor got his sixth main event win, and Eric Brett got his third main event win. And that's pretty much how the night went at our track.
Well, it sounds like a great time had by all. When's your next race?
It is 2 weeks.
September 23rd.
Yeah, the 23rd.
Yep.
Then the 7th. And then
October. Looks like October 21st.
That is our last three races of the season.
And when's the banquet?
That is probably last night. It's January, I want to think like the 16th, somewhere around there. So okay. I'll find out again. But yeah.
Find out again.
I didn't put it in my calendar yet.
Because I'm going to make a point.
I haven't had it all done.
I'm going to make a point of going this time. I keep saying I'm going, but I've never made it yet. I'm definitely going to do it.
And we are doing our drivers are going to be on the Prado next Wednesday at the El Cajon car show.
Yeah, that's what Michelle had announced. So that's cool. So you're going to have all the drivers and.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple from each division out there. And then I think Debbie Chapman from Rad was saying the next weekend or the next Wednesday, all of our kids are going to be out there, and it's going to be all the junior drivers out there at the El Cajon car show.
Cool.
They call it the Cajon Classic Cruise Wednesday nights on Main Street.
Yeah.
Cool.
How cool
is that?
That'll
be fun for the kids. Oh my gosh.
Oh, they're excited. I'm sure they're going to have every kid out there that can make it.
Oh, yeah. And the kids who go to check it out are going to be, hey, look at you. You're like me and you're racing. And wow, it might inspire some other kids to get involved.
Yeah, it should be a great, great time for them. So,
hey,
see how it goes.
Hey, did Brittany drive last night?
Brittany drove last night. And
what'd she hit?
She did pretty good.
What'd she hit? She hit anything?
No, I don't think so. It was so much of a blur because the dwarf cars are going so fast. I was just watching the front. Bob Fryhite crashed in his heat race, and he tore the front end up on the car pretty good. He didn't make it better out for the main. Brittany started ninth, and I think she finished, well, let's see where we're at in the finish. Ninth? No, that is, I got to read this. I didn't read where she was at.
And while you're reading, she just texted me, and the banquet is January 13th.
Okay. So. I knew it was one of those days coming up there.
All right, cool.
And started 7th and finished 10th.
All right.
She actually held on pretty good. Yeah, those guys are fast. I mean, that was a really good fast group, and they had a really good track last night. Like I said, it was still tacky pretty much towards the end of the night, even when the ponies were running. So.
Right.
So. It's a little bit of moisture in the air, and then getting the moisture back in the track and cooling off, and you know, how it kind of just comes back up. So
It's
pretty cool. Yep.
All right. Well, hey, man, it's always good talking to you. The 23rd is your next race. So.
And we'll announce, when we do the calendar, we'll announce that your junior drivers are going to be there
as well
on the 20th for the Cajon Cruise.
That's not this Wednesday coming up, but it's the next Wednesday after that.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and announce that next Sunday so that they'll have some PR on that.
Yeah, so people get down there, meet the drivers, your local drivers that run at Barona Speedway. And you never know, you might run into somebody you know.
I think it's down by Orange Avenue or something. Uh-huh. I'm not sure where it all runs through El Cajon on that cruise night.
And well, you can't miss
it. Like Prado and
I think they're going to put you guys on the patio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, just look for, what is it, Nicolosi's, the Italian place?
Exactly.
Just look for that. It's right next to that.
You can't miss it. Or just listen for Brittany. She'll be hollering and screaming and doing her thing. Yeah, you'll be able to find her. Just listen for her.
She's a great campaigner for our track.
Yes, she is.
She's a great person in general. All this stuff she does for everything, for all the events.
She's amazing. She is amazing. Yeah. All right. Hey, I got Bam Bam on the line. I think he's going to come sit on you if you don't get off the line.
Oh, dear. That would be ugly.
And that would be...
He had a great night. I'm glad he had a great night. And then I know Royce is up there. I miss going to see them guys run up there. Take care of Bam Bam.
Hey, next time you want to go to Paris, let me know. I'll drag you up there. We'll go together.
If they're looking for someone to help out, I might want to go announce there if our track, you know, ever has a problem.
You ain't going there. Delosio's never going anywhere. You're stuck with Delosio. They're stuck with Delosio for the rest of their lives.
I'd have to be one of the infield guys, you know, like Bam Bam did once before.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out if he lost his gig. All right, you can tune in. Just get on the radio. All right, I'm going to let you go.
I'll be listening on iHeart. I'm listening to you guys right now in the background.
Perfect.
All right, buddy. Have one for me, and we'll talk to you down the road. Folks, Barona Speedway. Check them out. All right, let's take a quick break right here on Racer Radio. Folks, hey, I'm kidding. Racer Radio, right here on AM 1170. We got Steve Bam Bam Fangmeyer on the line because he's representing Paris Auto Speedway. Hey, Dirt Dude even was thrilled with your escapades last night, so you must have done really well up there at Paris. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Dave. How's it going?
Excellent. So how'd it go last night?
Won the heat race, won the main, led all 20 laps. You know, redrew good for the main event. It was a good race, that's for sure.
Was everything just right for you? I mean, everything you touched kind of turned to gold?
Well, you know, the track got kind of rough, and we had a lot of speed, and track position kind of worked into our favor, and there was quite a few cautions, and I think the key to last night was hitting the restarts every time and, you know, just getting going, and, you know, a couple of Barona guys, Royce and Kyle Morris, they tried to challenge us a little bit on a couple of restarts, but... The cars just had so much speed. All the practice, all the work in the shop, everything that we've been working on all year long with a lot of our tech supporters and our sponsors is just all coming together. In the last four races, we've just had so much speed. Won three out of the four. got our first modified win the first, you know, four races ago. Had a little bit of bad luck in the heat race, the race after that, and then we were able to beat one of the best of Paris, Mike Kirby, when it comes in a modified. He's pretty much the guy, and me and him had a nice little battle last race, and was able to win that one. We had half a lap over third, and then last night, you know, all the cautions kind of made it interesting, but, you know, it worked out in our favor, and it definitely felt good.
Well, that's fantastic. So now, where does that put you in the run for the championship?
Well, the way Paris does it, once you win, you're into the Super 7. So come the last race at the October 28th, there will be seven guys that have a shot at the points title. And kind of like NASCAR style, whoever finishes highest wins. And, you know, we missed the first IMCA points race of the year. So that put us behind the eight ball, you know, as far as the IMCA title is considered, which ended not this race, but the one, the last race.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished, I think, sixth. Missing a race, we still finished sixth in points.
Wow.
For the IMCA. And then right now, I think we're, after last night, going to be second or third in points with three wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll tie us for the most wins on the year with Mike Kirby. And then he missed last race. I hope he comes back to the last race so we can have a nice little race to see for the championship. But that'll... Yeah, it'll put me on the front row somewhere.
Awesome.
For that race.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Well, that's what I like about Steve. I mean, he wants to win, but he wants all the competitors to be on the track so that if he wins, he won.
He showed how he could master it. And
Did you lose your announcing gig in the infield? Because the last time Michelle and I were up there, they had somebody else doing it.
Yeah. What happened?
A lot of the Night of Destruction stuff conflicts with races we're doing elsewhere, so I do it as much as I can, but the racing comes first.
Okay, because I was going to jump on board as your agent, and I was going to make sure you got more speaking gigs, but if you'd rather go around and around and around and around,
we can't help that.
Then I will leave that alone.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, it's fun doing that infield recording. It's fun, especially when you... I used to help a guy that, one of my real good friends, Eric Brown, I think he's been on your show in the past.
Sure.
And, I used to help him when he raced Night of Destruction. So it was nice to, most of the guys that are out there are still the same group of people.
Yeah.
And I got to know them. So I got to, you know, use kind of what I've known from the background from racing against those guys and hanging out with them and make the interviews a little bit more fun. So, you know, that's always fun, but... we'll do it here and there when we get the opportunity to, and just something to change the pace a little bit.
Right. Well, you do a really good job. I mean, I've been doing this for many years, and I can always tell, you know, what I call the good announcers. One, you're a racer, which helps, and two, you're passionate about the sport. And three, you know everybody. So it's really a win-win all the way around. And I just think you do a great job. If nothing else, think about it maybe as a retirement thing. Because you do very well. You got a great voice. You got a good, capture of the sport. So anyway.
Yeah, so if racing doesn't work out, you can do the other thing.
I'm sure if you let Scott know, he'll let you call in every Sunday.
Oh yeah. Well, not every Sunday.
You know, I told him I want to be his co-announcer up in the booth one time, and he told me no way.
I know. Well, let's put it this way. Hey, it's no different than if he came down to you and said, "Hey, Steve, let me drive your car every other race."
Sure, no problem.
Oh, man, you would not either. Listen to you. Oh man, so hey, we can't go without talking about people to get you to the track. Who are they?
Oh yeah, I've been really fortunate, and we've had a great group of sponsors backing us, and some more people come on board lately. Racing Plus out of Mariloma. A great parts house for any racers that are listening. Whatever you need, hurdle list, they'll take care of you. Rent a home, not a house. Dogwood Acres Campground. iBox Springs, domestic diesel and auto repair. Lawler's Towing. BMS by Extreme, Amsoil. We had Construction Logic come on board. He's been helping us out, and that's been a great partnership. That goes back to when I was in high school doing 4-H and FFA. I grew up with his daughter, and he used to buy my pigs at the fair, and we reconnected again, and he's having a blast doing this race and stuff with us. So that's awesome. And Superior Steering Wheels. There's so many people, my mom and dad, my girlfriend for supporting me, her parents, my crew, Jim Rook, Terry, fellow racer, Tim LeBrake, Mike, Keegan, everybody that comes in week out and is able to help us when we're at the shop or at the racetrack. And it's definitely, I'm lucky enough to get to drive it, but it's a team effort, 100% every day. If everybody wasn't putting in the effort that they were, we wouldn't be having the success that we are. So yeah. I owe it to each and every one of them.
Absolutely. I tell you.
It takes a village.
It takes a village. Yes, indeed it does.
And everyone brings their own little talents and little contributions, but it all adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're still fairly new to this class. I mean, this is our fourth year, but and I know we've talked about it before. When you look at factory stocks and you look at street stocks, those cars started life as street cars. And a lot of the suspension stuff, they may have different, racing spring rates or special shocks, but a lot of the stuff is still street car component. And then when you get into a modified started its life as a modified. They're jig built by professional racing companies all over the United States that are very, very competitive. And, the same week, this past week, IMCA Boone Super Nationals in Boone, Iowa, and 240 IMCA modifieds. Over 900 cars, or almost 900 cars in six classes that race for a week. And it's not for the money, it's for the prestige.
Right.
And it was, they only started 33 cars in the main event last night in what they called the big dance. And so, 210 guys went home upset because they had to watch the race instead of being involved in it. And that's what I love about this class. Doesn't matter where you go, it's competitive. I haven't had the best track record up there, but we're going to make another trek up to Bakersfield next weekend and see how we can do up there, and then looking to get down towards Cocopah Speedway in Yuma towards the end of the month. And had a blast the last time we went there. But, we know going into it, when we go to Bakersfield next week, we're going to have to worry about figure out how to beat the Brad Pounds, the Robbie Sawyer, the Kyle Heckman, the Cody Laney, and the list goes on and on. And, when you go down to Yuma, you got Steve McCullough, you got Russell Allen, you got all that group of people down there. It doesn't get easier when you go to different racetracks. If they came to Paris.
Right.
They know, and I hope our name's getting up towards on that list too, but, you're going to have to contend with the Mike Kirby's and Kevin Hawking and
the Fang Myers. And don't forget the Fang Myers. I know you're being very humble, and I appreciate that. But I can guarantee you, if I contact the other tracks that you go to, they know you're coming. You're not a mystery. You're not a mystery. You're not a mystery. They know you. They know. And I'll bet you there's drivers at those other tracks that when they know you're coming, they adjust accordingly. Doesn't mean they're going to win,
they get extra underwear put on. And,
I think when they see Bam Bam showing up, they might make a few different changes, a little maybe a difference. Am I right? Or am I wrong? Go ahead, brag.
Well, you kind of do. At least for us, it's considered. I don't care who shows up. We're going to do.
There you go.
My crew and I, we kind of got this thing. One lap, one car.
Right, you work your program.
At a time, you deal with one car at a time, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you got to race the racetrack as much or more than you race everybody else. And I don't see any of the big name guys. It doesn't matter who shows up. They're going to race their race.
Right.
And that's what separates them from everybody else, because the minute you start worrying about what he's doing, he beats you.
That's right. Mm.
Because you're not worrying about your stuff. You're worrying about him.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's why I tell young drivers all the time, always look forward. Don't look back.
Work your program.
Listen to your spotter. Stay on track and don't get out of control. Man, it is always a thrill having you call in, but we won't tell Scott that. but seriously, man, once the season's over with, I need to hook up with you. Get your car and your crew. Come to San Diego. I'd love to put you on TV. So that way you've got a clip.
Yeah, we would love to do that again. That was very fun last time.
Yeah, I want it. But I'm thinking, let's wait till the season's over, and then we'll set it up, do another Sunday like we did before. Bring your team down to a little staycation in San Diego, and I would love to have you. And then we'll maybe hang on to you and have you come on and do some radio, too, in studio.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be talking to you down the road. And, folks, don't forget, the next race is the 23rd?
28th of October. And hopefully we're hoisting that big championship trophy that night.
That's right.
Well, we're right behind you, brother. So if we have anything to do with it, then you'll be calling us a lot more.
Awesome. Go get them.
Well, sounds good to me.
All right, buddy. Thanks, take care. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, more Racer Radio right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio. This segment's brought to you by Certified Car Care, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. And if you ever get yourself in a situation where you're working on a hot rod and you're building it from scratch, then you definitely want to do a dyno pull. And the best way to do it, contact Certified Car Care. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ, and I'll cut you a screaming deal on your first dyno pull. All right. Well, we had it. You know, Michelle was nice enough to read the LA Times, which I don't do. And they cover motorsports 100 times better than the Union Tribune. Ever since Bill Centers left.
Oh, yeah. He was so good.
I don't think there's any motorsports coverage at all. But she was nice enough to show me this little clip on Daniel
Suarez.
Suarez.
He's a NASCAR driver.
Right. He's out of Mexico, and he's just a great ambassador for Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great kid. I have interviewed him many a times, and he was being interviewed by that company called Subway.
Yeah, that was his sponsor, and apparently he committed the sin of promoting a competitor brand. He inadvertently handed out Dunkin' Donuts to his fans.
And Subway somehow caught wind of it. And I guess because they sell
some breakfast stuff.
What do they sell?
I don't even know that they sell breakfast stuff.
I'm going to go to the Subway website and find
They used to have apparently they had some sort of a promo called Desayuno with Daniel, which means breakfast with Daniel.
Yeah.
And they had a promotion by that name. And the LA Times puts a spin on it and says, well, that turned out to be his last meal with Subway. So, and the lesson here is lines a driver can never cross. Promoting the competitor's brand is high on the list. And, you know, inadvertently he did this. I'm sure nobody thought twice about it.
Okay. So when you think breakfast, you think Subway.
No, you don't think Subway at all.
So, I mean, I got to tell you, I think here's breakfast.
Do they have a Desayuno with Daniel thing?
No, it's build your own morning. Bacon and egg and cheese.
Ah, so they don't even have donuts.
Wait a minute. Black Forest ham and cheese, steak and eggs and cheese, egg and cheese. It looks like they put tomatoes in it. Gag a maggot. But I don't see any donuts.
I don't either.
So
I'm not seeing that.
I'm telling you, I got to tell you, folks, I used to carry a Union 76 gas card. And when NASCAR or when Union 76 pulled out of NASCAR, I pulled out a Union 76.
You tore up your credit card.
Hey, I'm just not going to fool with it. I'm serious, because that's why those advertisers do what they do, because they know race car drivers are extremely loyal.
Yeah.
And this kind of loyalty, you can't screw with.
Apparently, you know, sponsorship money is disappearing quickly, according to this article, and you just can't do things. So even teams, they dropped, Casey Kane got dropped this year. Matt Kenseth got dropped. Kurt Busch got dropped. Don't have rides for next year.
Kurt Busch doesn't have a ride.
That's what it says here. And Target has ended Kyle Larson's sponsorship in 2018. Mm. And he just won with a Target car. Hello.
Larson will have no trouble finding a sponsorship. Yeah. That will not be an issue at all. He'll have no problem. Kurt Busch, you said?
Yes, it said Kurt Busch and Casey Kane have been dropped by their teams and don't have a ride for 2018. And that, Suarez was the 2016 Xfinity Series champion. So he's on a roll.
They could go so far with him being Spanish and everything.
I seriously hope he can come up with someone else in a pinch and this won't, slow him down. And I just don't see that this little thing he did in July that up to this point, nobody knew about. P.S.
I think Subway just was ready to pull their sponsorship.
They must have just been
just
looking for an
excuse. Well, they've already had enough trouble.
Sort of like when you want to break up with your girlfriend, you show up in public with another chick because you know that your steady chick will get pissed off and fire and get rid of your happy you-know-what.
Yeah,
you know, that's usually how it goes. But you're right. Maybe they were already cruising for a reason to push him away. But still, poor guy. I just feel so bad for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he'll be fine. He'll bounce right back. He'll be no problem at all.
So now we're on to the playoffs in NASCAR. I don't understand why they're called playoffs when they should be called race-offs, but okay. And poor Joey Logano last night came in second, so he doesn't get to go to the playoffs. Mm-mm. He's going to have to suck it up in the back along with Dale Jr.
I don't think it'll be a problem.
So we'll see them, apparently. There's 16 drivers that are in the contention now for the playoffs that can win the cup. But as Dave was explaining to me this morning, because I didn't understand how they were going to do this, that doesn't mean that they're eliminated from any further races.
Correct.
Everyone gets to keep racing. There's just only 16 that are in contention for the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And this is not the first time they've done this, and it was a little bit disheartening the first year they did it because, you know, all it takes is one driver to get in front of another driver, not to change the subject.
What?
But did you hear Truax's comments on Derek Cope?
Well, I know there was a little issue with Derek making a stupid mistake.
What is this guy doing on the racetrack? He doesn't belong on the racetrack anymore. He should retire. And this is not, and if you didn't see it last night, what Derek Cope did, and Derek Cope, and I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm not a fan. Derek Cope won the Daytona 500 one year because Dale Earnhardt Sr. blew a tire, and Cope happened to be in second place.
And what year was this? A long time ago.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
Granted, at the time, Cope was a good driver. He was right there with everybody. He was competitive.
He was a contender, okay.
Not a winner.
But a contender. Okay.
So he wins the Daytona. Well, that gives you accolades above and beyond.
Sure.
So he has been able to garner a ride. He was 20 laps down. But every race he races, he's either down or in the way.
So guess what he did last night? He got in the way again. He hit the wall.
If he had not have hit the wall, Truax would have won that race, and we wouldn't even be having the conversation.
Yes.
But because
he crashed out.
Cope crashed.
And then he caused Truax to crash.
Right. Which wasn't Truex's fault. That was Hamlin's issue. But even Hamlin, I mean, when I seen them both going into turn one, they were both over their heads.
Yeah.
Both Hamlin and
Truex.
Yeah. So it's not like it's all Hamlin's fault.
And then there was that crazy stuff with the ambulance and the pit row entrance.
Well, okay, so here's another deal. I mean, if NASCAR could have screwed up any more last night, I don't know if they could have, but they did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Because, and if you didn't see it, there was a caution.
Open the pits.
They opened the pits, but yet they let an ambulance, or they're saying the ambulance driver ignored NASCAR, which I'm going to argue with
ridiculous
that all day
because
long.
There was nothing that
there's
they
nothing
needed
out
to
there, no.
Yeah, address at that point.
So there was a mistake so that all the guys were trying to come into the pits. And let's face it, Richmond doesn't have the largest pit opening. And everybody, and then Kenseth destroyed his chances last night and he needed to win. So he took his car completely out.
Yep.
The thing that bothered me about last night is NASCAR said, okay, all right, everybody that went over the line to get into the pits, which would normally be you'd get fined and you'd have to, you know, lose a lap and all that, they waived it because it wasn't the driver's fault. It was NASCAR's fault.
Oh, all right.
But they adhered to Kenseth's 10-minute fix rule. So why... if you're going to eliminate the penalties,
well, be consistent. Come on.
Be consistent. So give him an opportunity to get his car fixed and back on the track.
Yeah.
But no, they implemented the 10-minute rule, but alleviated the crossing the line.
Yeah. No, I don't like that.
I don't know what.
So if you're on Twitter and you want to watch the NASCAR playoffs from an in-car camera, you're in luck. Next week at Chicagoland Speedway, the live camera stream will be starting up and it's going to be on its official Twitter handle, which is big surprise here, at NASCAR.
Well, you know, they've tried a billion different ways to get us to watch them on your phone or the internet.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if...
So we'll see if this works. They hope that they have a quote unquote, another compelling vantage point for the watching of the NASCAR playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Well, it was a fun weekend. It's going to be, the series is coming to an end at every racetrack. Make sure you support your local tracks. Don't go to Subway. And if
no.
Just don't go.
And follow us on our Facebook. We don't have Twitter, but we have Facebook. We have two pages. We have You Auto Know, and we have Racer Radio. So go ahead and follow us there.
All right, this is AM 1170, The Answer. And by the way, Gun Sports Radio is right in the house. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Down the road, folks, down the road.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.